So we're going to look at that. I mean, we've done this before. We think we had a newsletter, and we put that out there for other people to see. And I guess we could release the children, especially the loud ones. Let them out. So in the name of Jesus, we were like that once. Pastor Ken said he was so loud in church, his mom had to deal with him. So Pastor Ken, you remember that? So we still have to deal with you. So your mom did well, though. Thank God. So let's go to our Bibles. If you didn't have your Bible open, we will look at... We'll start off with Joel chapter 2, verse 14, and have a comment about that. And let's read that first, and we'll kind of say some things about it then. Joel 2:14, I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decision. Thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decisions. And of course, the second line says, the day the Lord will arrive soon. A prophetic word. So we're going to take out of that that there are people that are wanting to make decisions. There's some decisions you've already made, perhaps, and you're going to see the results of it. We want to have good, positive outcomes. Amen? Hallelujah. I just feel like we have to maybe it's me. I have to steer myself up a little bit, you know. Maybe I should jump around a little bit. But we have to, there's sometimes you have to make decisions to do some things. And decisions will determine direction in life. Once you make a decision, it will determine the direction you're going to be going into. So your direction, it's important for you to, if you're making the right decision, you will arrive at a certain destination. So today, when you're making a decision, it will determine what's going to happen in the future. And also, your direction that you get will determine your destiny. It's going to depend. Your direction or the information that you get, the guidance you get, the information you get, the instruction you're going to get, is going to determine your destiny, how your life is going to turn out. Can you say amen? So I believe that's true. So people around you give you input. You know, there's people that are around you that are always giving you some kind of a commentary of what they thought you should do. So it's a matter of what decisions you make determine where you're going to end up. It's like if you're a pastor, they told us in Bible school, you know, where do you like to see your church in the next 5 years? So you make those decisions, you teach those things that you want the people, how you want them to be spiritually in 5 years. So you fed along certain kind of a spiritual food, then you look like certain kinds of people after. Amen? Glory to God. Amen. So it's important to make the right decision because your happiness depends on it. Right? So not only that, but it matters to other people. Your decisions that you make matters to those people around you that are significant. Your wife, perhaps, maybe your children, or you would say your spouse. Your the people you hang around with at work. This is important for them that you make certain decisions. Amen? So how comfortable you are determines that decision you make. Look back on your past and see how important a decision was made, that you made the right one. And perhaps look back and examine to see what wrong decisions you made and how that significantly impacted your level of happiness or your health. If you knew that something was going to determine that you're going to have open heart surgery in about 15 years, if God told you to do something today, you'd make that change instead of having the heart transplant or whatever it is. Or something about your health. When I was in school, we had a 90-year-old instructor. We also joke about him before. We always said that he was there when, when Apostle Paul sailed the sea to Corinth and so on. He was that old, you know, and so we always joke around with him. He was there when Paul started writing the epistles. But he would say this. He would say, you know, I wish I would have known what I ate in life, how I ate physically, natural food, how that would determine my health today. You know, if you knew certain foods that you're eating would affect your health at 85 or 75 or 65, you would make that change today. So, talking about destiny, where are you going to arrive at one day? It's important that you make the right decision. So, what if you made the wrong decision? Some of you guys, what if you didn't come to TC? Right? Some of you, what if you didn't come to Faith City Church? What if you didn't receive Jesus? What if you continued to do what you were doing? Like, where would you be today? You know? So I always look at that myself. I'm glad I made a decision to follow Jesus. And when I made the decision, I told my wife, I was a young man in my early 20s. I said, you know, I was hungry for God. I was so hungry for God. I said, you know, I see the rarity of the young men and young women in this church, how they're hungry for God. You don't see that very much. You see people following crowds, and you see people following people, what they're doing, and they figure that if the whole crowd is doing it, it must be fun, so everybody's doing it. It's not necessarily true. It might be some fun in it, but eventually there's going to be some things happening in there that's going to determine some of your destiny, you know. So I was hungry for God, and so I made a decision. So that time, that day, I remember phoning the line, Billy Graham's phone line, when they had the Crusades. I phoned there and said, and a guy talked to me, and so we prayed the sinner's prayer, the prayer of commitment to Jesus. And I laid my life down, and I made that decision, and it changed my life. Then after that decision, I followed Jesus. I was living with a girlfriend of mine. I was living with a girl. I was in college. We had been together for a long time because, a girlfriend boyfriend kind of thing, kind of living common law. That's what it was basically. And then I said, I made a decision to follow Jesus, and you're going to have to leave. I'm going to have to leave. So it changed my life. I made a decision that I'm going to change. I want to follow Jesus, and so that led to other things. Of course, at a certain part of that, later on, it became like either you follow Jesus or you're with me kind of thing. And so I said I'm going to stay with Jesus. So it determined where I am today. And oftentimes I look at it because if you love somebody. Naturally speaking, you don't want to be apart from them. But sometimes you make a decision for Jesus, it determines your whole life. I'm glad I made those decisions. I'm glad I came to Jesus. And I seem to come into ministry. There was a crossroads in my life where I decided I'm going to either continue on my academic career and become a full-time professor and have a career in university. And do studies and so on. And I said, either going to do that or either going to go to the ministry. And so I took the ministry, and there was no money involved in it at that time, and I decided that's what I'm going to do. And so it determined my life. And I thank God for that. I thank God you're probably in, that's what it says in Joel 2:14. Thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decision. People are waiting to make the right decision. People are waiting and waiting and waiting to make a right decision. But God is speaking to you right now. God is talking to every one of you. God is talking to you online right now. He wants you to make the right decision. Amen. Amen. And so I believe tonight you're going to start making that right decision. You're going to start walking and you're going to see some changes in your life. And perhaps, it might some things might not be pleasant right away. But it's going to be better for you. in the end. Can you say amen? Amen. I can feel faith rising. Praise God. Amen. So in the valley of decisions, many are in that valley. They're in that low part of their life. You know, valley indicates the lowest section part of your life. And maybe you're at the low part of your life. Then you're looking up and you're going to get out of there. You're going to make a new start for yourself. So there are thousands and thousands of people in that valley. And so, listen to this. Indecision is still a decision. Or not making a decision is still a decision. If you don't make one, there's still going to be some result in it. It's still going to be either you make the decision or somebody else will make the decision for you. So the devil always tells you to wait and push it back and you know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. So I believe if you step out, there's going to be something open up for you. Praise God. Can you say praise God?
Praise God.
God is good. Amen? I can sense something happening here in the spiritual realm. Woo! Okay. So ask yourself, if I didn't make this decision, what would happen to me? Or if I don't make the decision I need to make right now, what's going to happen next? You have to make that. You have to ask yourself the question. Let me just give you some scriptures about that. God promises to always lead you. Everybody say, God promises.
God promises.
He would always lead me. Say, God is leading me right now. Say, I believe He will never let me suffer a bad decision. So I want to show you by scripture that God is leading you right now. I believe you're here by purpose. You say, well, I came here so my friend was coming, so I just came. I believe you're here for a reason. You're here for this night for a purpose. If you believe in destiny, you're here for a reason. Amen? Okay, look at this. Look at Psalm 32, verse 8. Look at these Bible truths. Psalm 32, 8, the New Living says this. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway of your life, for your life. Amen? The New Living says, I will guide you along the best pathway of your life. That's awesome. Amen? The best thing, God wants to, you know, make it the best thing ever. Amen? He said, I will advise you and watch over you. Amen? Just think about it for a moment. If you didn't make some of the decisions that you needed to make, right? What would have happened if you didn't make those decisions? Glory to God. Amen? Something's going on in here. By the way, I made a decision. I made some decisions that we're going to have the fall conference. We're going to cut it down and shave it down from Friday night to Sunday. We'll have a mini conference. So we cut it down. We're going to cut it down. But we're going to have right from Wednesday. Amen? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Amen? And so we're going to have speakers in the morning, at night, in the afternoon, and we're going to be here all day long if you want to. But praise God, we're going to have a great time. Amen? So I believe there's going to be some great things happening. So what does it say? Psalm 32, 8. He said, the Lord. Everybody say, the Lord.
The Lord.
Say, the Lord. Okay. He said, the Lord says, I will guide you. That's what the Word of God says. Guide you. I'll guide you in the best pathway, the best place. He'll take you to the best places. If you let God take you, and if you let the Lord take you, it's going to be the best place for you. Thank you. Amen. And advise you. Free advisement. Amen. How many people know that you have an advisor inside you? You got the Holy Spirit inside you. You got, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit's in you. You're going to know all things that you're supposed to do. Amen? And even if you made a bad decision, God can turn that around for you if you let Him do something in your life. Hallelujah. Amen? Okay. So the Lord promises. He said, I will instruct you and teach you. I'll instruct you. I will teach you. I will guide you. That's what he says. The Bible says that God will help you make decisions. Faith is a key, really, in knowing how to make decisions. You got to believe, first of all, that God will lead you. If you don't believe that God's not leading you, if you say, well, God doesn't really care, I wish he would care a little bit, you know. But you have to understand that God cares for that. He wants to help you make those decisions. Now, let's look at this over here. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. It says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. How many godly? Is there any godly people here? Amen. Praise God. We're all godly people. You know, godly means just, you know, people that are for God. They want to live for God, you know. That's godly people. They want to make God their central, central piece of their life. They want God at the center of their life. So it says in here, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail. Every detail. Everybody say, every detail. So you have to understand that God cares for every detail of your life. Though they stumble, in other words, if you make a decision that you kind of stumble and you didn't make the right one, he said they will never fail. The Lord will uphold them or holds them by his hand. That's Psalm 37, 23, and 24. So I want you to understand that even if you make a decision and you said, God, I want you to lead me, I believe you're leading me, I'm going to take this direction, and you stumble, you didn't make the right one, but God says, because you're for me, I'm going to uphold you, I'm going to make sure you're not going to, you know. I remember that happened to me when I was younger, and, in church, you think, it's a detail of my life, a minor detail, and that is, you know, I have so much money to give, to sow seed. Because sometimes you feel like, you know, in order to make a big impact, you got to bring the big one, the big bills. But I decided I want to give God something every week, start planting seed. And I remember asking, one big seed I gave was $1,000. I gave $1,000. I was a small Christian, a baby Christian, in other words. I just knew at it. And I remember being in church. How many of you have been in church? You're excited, man. Woo hoo hoo! Like, you know. I mean, everybody's excited. And the minister says, you know, we need several people to give $1,000. And my hand went up. Woo hoo! I want to give, you know. And I had $1,000 in the bank. And so, you know what? I gave that, Tony. I gave that $1,000. And it was exciting, that service. You know, everybody's excited. There's you could even touch the anointing in the air. Woo! It was exciting. It was at actually downtown Winnipeg. Was a Holiday Inn, nice location. You know, just everybody looking good, and smelling good, and so on, and so big time speakers. And so, after all the service was over, I'm sitting in the car. There's only one light in the parking lot, shining into my car. I'm thinking about, man, they took me. You know, you feel that way, eh? Man, they took me, those guys. They really took me. They wrecked me over. Now I gave that $1,000. The devil started talking to me. You gave that $1,000. Now what you going to live on? How are you going to get home? See, this is what it says, though he stumble. That's what I'm getting at, that scripture. Though he stumble, he said, I'll never let him fall. So there's days, if you're walking with God and you're making decisions, you make a wrong decision, but you're for God and God is for you. Hey, God's going to make that good for you. He's going to turn that around. He's going to turn it around for you. And so, you know, I learned that, you know, even if your intention, it's God looking at your heart. You know, I felt this is what I felt because I'm, you know, listen to me. When you're in church, the anointing is different. There's a corporate anointing in here. It's easier to make decisions. Come at the altar, cry, you know. And you're going to make decisions, then you go home and you forget about it. Because that anointing is not there anymore. You're alone by yourself now. That corporate anointing is no longer there. It's easier to believe God for healing in a larger corporation like this. But if you leave there and go home, it's kind of different. That's why you got to fill your spirit with with the strength of God, and feed on the Scriptures so that your decisions are strong, continually be strong. Amen. Are you doing okay? How about another Scripture for your little spirits? Psalm 48:4-15, he says that, for this is what God is like. He's our God forever and ever. He will guide us until we die. Psalm 48:14. In other words, God says, you know what? I'm going to, from the day you're born until the day you die, I'm going to be there to help you along the way to make decisions. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. He says, I'm going to be there until you die. You know? He's going to be there all the way through. So I'm going to be at your, when you're dying, I'm going to come at your bedside. I says, you know, I need your car. Can you give that to me? Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. And God says, no, don't give him that car. Give it to Pastor Ken. He's got 5 cars already. He's going to make himself an automobile company. No? Amen. A new one. No, he's going to have a new one. Okay. So, look at Psalm 48:14. Oh, that's what we just saw. You want to see it again? Okay. Psalm 73:24. Here's the same thing. He says, You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Isn't that wonderful? He says that the outcome of glorious destiny. Oh man, I said, he says, I'm gonna lead you there. I'm gonna give you this place where you need to be. He says, a glorious destiny. Everybody say, glorious destiny. Glorious. See, God, that's what God promises. Now let's go to Isaiah 48:17. God teaches you, you know, he wants to teach you, show you what to do, where to go, how to go about doing things. And I believe that God is interested, as we saw in another scripture, that he's interested in every detail of your life. Every detail of your life. You know, sometimes we laugh at things, but one guy told me this one time, he says, you know, the Lord told me to wear this red shirt today. I thought it was kind of funny, eh? But I said, okay, if the Lord told him to wear a red shirt, then fine. But who am I to, you know, challenge that? It didn't affect me, I thought, but, you know. But he's interested in if you eat peas or not. or something, you know. You understand that? So God wants, he's interested in detail. So Isaiah 48:17, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, this is New Living. The Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you what is good, or the King James says, to prosper, and leads you along the path that you should follow. So there is a path that you should follow, and God wants you to go in that direction, but some people don't do it. One thing is they don't make a decision. And somebody else makes a decision for them. Or circumstances just sweeps them away. Amen? Or situations just take them along the way, along the path, where they're in no man's land. So if you don't make a decision, somebody will make it for you. Somebody told me one time, you know, if you complain, and if you don't make decisions, then you shouldn't be complaining, because you allowed it to happen. You continue to allow something to happen in your life. So make a decision. Now, 58:11, Isaiah 58:11 says, God wants to continue to live a satisfied life. The Lord will guide you continually. I want you to think about this. Like, maybe right now you don't think that God is leading you. It seems like, you know, nothing exciting is happening. Nothing exciting is happening. You know, when we think about God leading us, we think, woo, should be balloons falling, you know, confetti flying around, music blaring, you know, everybody's happy. I mean, that's, you know, clowns jumping up and down. Band playing in the background. But it's not always like that. You know, sometimes, you know, things might not seem like nothing's happening. I want to tell you something. God is working for you. He's doing it right now. He is doing it right now. He's making decisions. He's already made those decisions that you would prosper and be in a good place. He says here, the Lord will guide you continually. giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. That's wonderful. 58:11, the New Living. Let's turn out to the King James. What does the King James say? So some people like to listen to the King James. This is what it says in the King James. 1, 2, 3, 2, 1. There it is. The Lord shall guide thee continually. This is the official version. And satisfy thy soul. Everybody say soul. How many people know your soul? Sometimes the Bible will say soul. It means your spirit, or it means your mind, or your emotions, or all of you. Depending on the context, you need to understand this. Sometimes your soul is translated your spirit. And so you have to understand, make this differentiation. That's why you have to study the Bible. It says the Lord shall guide you continually, satisfy your soul in drought. I mean, you know, people have a time of drought times. You know, you ever feel like your spiritual energy is low and that you need a good anointing again? You know, he'll make your fat, your bones. I see some of you already have that. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. We don't want to be like a dried up garden. How does that look like, right? Yeah, so we want a garden that's all watered and everything looks good, right? So we want the continual flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, He will lead you out of sickness to health. He will lead you out of poverty into prosperity or having all your needs met. He leads you out of fear into faith. He leads you into peace, from trouble into peace, peaceful times. So every day we need to hear from God. God told us from these scriptures that He will lead us in every aspect of life. We shouldn't doubt the fact that God wants to lead us. We should have faith that He wants to lead us in every way, every way possible. We need to ask God and go to Him directly and ask Him, Lord, lead me, give me wisdom today. We need to confess that God is leading you even when it doesn't seem like it's so. You must say, God is leading me. Right now, He's leading me. I put my faith in it. I'm trusting that He's doing it. I'm trusting He's leading me. I'm not going to be in this situation in poverty all the time. I believe He's going to lead me to a better place. I believe I've been sick for a while, but praise God, I'm being led to health. Amen. I'm coming out of depression into a place where, you know, I don't have the depression anymore. Psalm 37:23, New Living says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. I like that scripture. That God, you mean to say you're concerned about everything? Yeah, I am, He says. I'm concerned about everything about you. Let's look at this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. New Living Translation. It says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Let me just say this. The word trust also means to have confidence in. Confidence in God. Trust also means to have, you know, to have faith in God. Trust. You can't trust God if you don't know the word. You have to know God and His character before you can actually have a leading of the Lord. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's your spirit. Do not depend on your own understanding. That's your head, your mind, because your mind doesn't know everything. That's why we need continual renewing of the mind. You know? The Bible says that He will renew our mind with His word. So, seek His will. How do you seek His will? Is it under the chair? Where His will? Where's His will? Where is His will? Huh? His word is His will. The Bible is God speaking to us. So search it, read it, read the Bible. Read it often, and as much as fast and hard as you can. And read it at night. Sometimes a lot of times I'm reading at night, and sometimes the last thing I do, but I reserve it. I want to think about the word before I go to bed. Sometimes I read half of my assignment, I read sometimes the full. And I look at the Word. And so he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your understanding. Seek His will and all that you do. In other words, get His Scriptures for everything you do. I had a great time with the two young people. I'm getting them married. You know, Kelsey and AJ. They're going to get married. I'm excited for these kids. They're the sharpest kids ever. I'm so proud of these kids, man. They're so sharp spiritually. And I told Kelsey. I said, Kelsey, you ever think about joining the pastoral team, man? You're smarter than your dad. I didn't say that part, but I told her, I was teasing her. But she's so sharp, and she's 20 years old or 19 years old. They're just that age bracket. They're going to get married. Thank God. I said, you know, you have Maxine and Ed. I think he was 17 years old. Maxine married Ed. And Ed was 36, I think. No, he was just a few years older. I said, you have them as a couple who've been all, they're going to be there 40, I think 42 or 46 years they've been married. Ed, you know Ed and Max? That's how long they've been married. That's a long time. And they're still young. And so I said, you have them for an example. You got Pastor Steve and Kendra, they got married when they're 7, I think. Right? They're young. They got young. They were young when they married. So not like your dad. Your dad was old when he got married. Is that dad was about 30, I think, maybe 30? Yeah. See, me and Anita, I was 31 when I married Anita. Anita was 24. Ooh. But she got saved when she's 18 years old. It's like some of these young girls running around. Staying single. And the Lord kept this one wonderful woman. I met her at college, at university. The Lord led me to school. I'm running around in school. And she said, do you need any help? He said, you looking for a wife? So she's still helping me today. After 32 years. So, anyway, you know, we got married. But you see, these kids, they're making decisions. I asked him, about this thing, and we talked about this. He said, we have to seek the Scriptures. They're the most sharpest kids ever. They come to church twice a week. They read their Bible. They're studying the Word. And Kelsey gets, she grew up in with two Rhema pastors. Grew up in church at home. And they make decisions out of it. The sharp kid ever, man. I mean, I can't believe how smart she is. I'm embarrassed of myself. Seek Him in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. So God promises you, if you don't trust your stupid head all the time, depend on your own self. But, we talked about, we sat with the kids, so how do you make the decision? We talked about the inward witness. Check on the inside of yourself when you're making decisions. Is there peace in there? Is there peace in there? If you're making decisions, there's no peace in there, and you have to question yourself, then you're making a wrong decision. You're making a wrong decision. If you got no peace in your heart about it, then it's a wrong decision. If you have to ask everybody to clarify, to try, no, you're there's something wrong there. You got to have complete peace inside you. Amen. Complete peace about everything you're making decisions on. If there's no peace in there, if there's confusion in there, if there's fear in there, if there's something in there you have to do, if you have to want to do it right away because it might not last, then it's wrong. It's wrong. Have the peace of God. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin used to say this, I'd rather make a slow decision than be two steps ahead of God. I'd rather be a step behind. I'd rather be a step behind. And he used to say this, when I feel like, God is, if I am at a crossroads and I'm making a decision, so this is part of our step here, and that is, I make a decision to what's in my spirit. What's in my mind? What's what the right decision? According to the Word, I make a decision. And then, if I don't get any witness to do anything, I just check on the Word and I follow that. Even if I don't get anything here, I follow the Word.
That's right.
Everybody say, I follow the Word.
Follow
there's too many people are trying to get run their lives on prophecy. God doesn't say, as many as are led by prophecies. As many as are led by prophets. No. You guide your life. You make decisions in your life according to Scripture. And if you don't know Scripture, you can't make decisions that are adequately, you know, in line with the Word of God if you don't know the Scriptures. Second thing you need to do is make decisions on the inside by your Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. He'll talk to you. And he said this, if I don't have anything, if I don't have any kind of leading, I just follow the Word. He said, I go by as much by what God says in my spirit, how he leads me. And he said, I go by just as much what he doesn't say. And when I make a decision, if he doesn't say anything, I keep going ahead. If I don't get a blockage, if I don't get a signal that says, you know, oh, there's kind of a warning in there, I say, okay, I better slow down. I better not make that decision. But most people don't do that because they rush into things. They're like talking to the salesman who says, if you don't get this today, you'll never get it again. You'll never see this again. This is the only red car ever that's going to come your way at this price. No, a lot of times there's always better prices. So follow your heart, not your head. Trust God with your heart. Don't depend on what you think about it. It's not what you think about it. It's what God thinks about it. Ask yourself, what does God say about the decision I'm making right now? What does he say about it? Ask God to guide you. Tell him, show me. Ask him in faith and start acting like in faith. And one aspect of being led is having the wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? Wisdom is the ability to use information correctly. That's what wisdom is. People don't have wisdom. They got lots of information, but they don't know how to apply it. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge correctly. Everybody say, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge correctly. Because sometimes, you know, people say, I could just tell someone something. You know, it's the truth anyway. Well, you know, it might be the truth, but it might not be the right time to say it. Because, you know, you don't want to push people away. A lot of times I know a lot of things. I talk to people. I know they're making wrong decisions. God says, you don't have to tell them. I'll go and tell them myself. But he's not going to listen to you anyway, even if you tell them. Don't be a smart aleck and try to tell everybody what to do. Because that's not good. James 1:5 says, what does James 1:5 say? Let's go to James 1:5. Can you put it up there, Pastor Dave? It says in there, if you need wisdom, ask our Lord, a generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Let's go to the next verse. But when you ask him, be sure that you ask in faith. That you're going to ask God and God alone. Do not waver. You know, when you waver is doubt. When you're doubting, you're wavering. Should I not? Wavering is like this. Back and forth. Do not waver. For a person of divided loyalty as an unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people will not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So if you're going to ask God a question about something, just ask him, say, God, I'm asking you right now about the decision. I receive that by faith right now. I believe that you're going to lead me. Amen. I believe it's coming forth right now. I believe in my spirit that you're going to lead me. And he'll lead you. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, I knew before you were born in your mother's womb, before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord says, I can't speak to you, as this guy says. Jeremiah, the Lord replied, do not say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. Don't be afraid of people, for I will be with you, I'll protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. He's telling this young man, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. Don't be afraid. Just make the decisions. I'm going to be there for you. First of all, if you're going to make a decision, first of all, number one, you have to make up your mind that you're going to make the decision. Is that number one way? First step is that you got to have to decide, I'm going to make a decision. So, aim to make your own decisions and don't allow anybody else to make a decision for you. You're going to do it yourself. You're going to take responsibility for it. And if you make a wrong one, you're the one that will take responsibility, not anybody else. It's time to stop blaming the government. If you trust God, you're not going to blame the government. You're not going to blame, you're going to lambast Prime Minister Trudeau or the Liberal government or whatever it is. You're going to trust God no matter what happens. God's going to help me and lead me and bless me. And none of this stuff like, I'm like this because my mom did this, my dad did this. No, that's the past. I'm making a decision right now, I'm going to change. That's when you change. I remember for years of blaming my mom and dad. Oh, it's I'm colonized, I'm a native, I'm colonized, and I'm an Indian. And that's how we make decisions. No, one day I had to wake up and say, you know what? Hey, I'm making my own decisions. Glory to God. Amen. You got to make a decision. So be responsible for all your decisions. Don't blame people. Don't shift your focus on the other people. When it comes to the point, you make your own decisions and you take responsibility. The Spirit of Truth, the Bible says, will guide you. In Micah chapter 7, there's a central truth there. It says in there, Micah chapter 7, verse 5, Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. We don't want that section, but at least the first section of it. So we need to be able to, don't just trust people, trust yourself. What's wrong with you making the decision? And here's what people do. They always say, the Bible says, and the multitude of counselors, their safety. Yeah, that's, there's a time for that. But a lot of times, you don't need anybody to get a multitude of counselors about getting a job. Moving to someplace else. You don't need, how many people do you need? How exact number you need for you to make a decision? 7? 12? You need yourself. There's a way to get by this. See, don't distrust people. Sometimes it says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, the blind are leading the blind. They're just as blind as you are when it comes to making decisions sometimes. People are just as blind as you. And you say, you trust your friend. Well, he told me to do it. And you're speeding down the road at 85 an hour, and it says 55. And your friend hurry, says, hurry up, step on it, we have to get over there. And the police stops you and says, what's going on? He said, well, my friend told me to step on it. It's your decision. Right? So don't let people lead you. Listen, don't let people lead you. Don't let signs lead you. Don't let superstition lead you. Don't be led by prophets. Don't be led by prophecy. Don't be led by spiritual experiences. Don't be led by a fantastic dream. Don't be led by a vision that you had. The Bible says we're not led by a vision. Even if you had legitimately had a vision. You're not going to be led by a vision. It's nice to have a vision that God confirms. But all of a sudden you wake up, you had a dream. You go, I got to do this now, I got to do this. No, you don't. No one should be led by a spiritual experience. I've known people who've had spiritual experiences and concerning healing. One guy, for instance, we were told a story about a fellow, and he was a minister, and he was had a very serious condition, could die. And then one morning, he says he was praying, and it was kind of dark yet, and then all of a sudden, the light came in, as bright as the noonday sun, and he was praying like this, and he looked, and he saw feet, and a man with Roman sandals, had a, you know, like one of these robes on, and white, and it says, "It's not my will to heal you," and disappeared before he could look up. And then he was going to go for prayer, and the minister said that when I prayed, God healed you. He said, "No, it's not God's will to heal me, because a man in a white robe, glistening robe, and Roman sandals show up at my bedroom and said, 'It's not my will to heal you.'" That's not Bible. I remember Brother Hagin, Jesus appears to him and begins to talk to him. He said, "I'm going to teach you about these things," and so on, "and I want to teach you about authority and how, the authority you have. I'm going to show you some scripture." And because, you know, he was struggling with some things there. And Brother Hagin told Jesus in that vision, he said, I don't care if I do see you, Jesus. I need to see what the Bible says. He said, "I'll give you scriptures. I want to give you four scriptures in my Bible." And he gave him four scriptures about taking your authority. If you don't take authority in your life, no one is going to take authority. If you don't take authority, somebody else will take authority. That is the devil. He'll take authority over your life. If you don't take authority over your own body, authority over your own mind, then who's going to take authority but yourself? It's your mind. It's your body. You got to say no to urges. You got to say no to crazy thinking. You've got to pull those down. Somebody said, "It might be hard." Yeah, it might be hard, but you're still going to pull them down. Are you getting something out of this? Now, I want to show you something before we go, a couple more things. So, you can't be led by superstition or supernatural. You must be led by the Scripture, by the Word of God, and by what God puts inside you by the Holy Spirit with His peace and with the joy of the Lord inside you. If you know there's a peace of God that comes in there, say, "Oh man, every time I think about it, I just get joyful and I get the peace of God in there. I know that God's in this." You know? And you got to get to that level. You know, the Bible says, "As for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God." Romans 8, 14, verse 16 says, "He bears witness with our spirits, or our inward man, or our recreated human spirit, that we are born again. And He leads you that same way that He tells you that you're His." When you got born again, how many of you got born again? Huh? And you know it. You say, "Well, how do you know it?" "Well, I just know it," somebody said. And they call it the know-so experience. That's one in 1 John. The know-so experience. How do you know you're saved? "I know by the inside of me." "Well, did you see Jesus?" "No, I never saw Jesus." "Did He appear to you that said that you're saved? Did He show you heaven? Did you have a glimpse of heaven?" I had one guy, we were very close to it, my family member of my wife, and said, "No, I'm not. I don't know if I'll ever be saved, but I'll know when I die." No, you got to know right now. You got to know right now that you're saved. That's right. Before you get to the other side. That's right. You got to put your faith in Jesus right now. That's what faith is for. Put your trust in Him. Put your reliance upon Him. Put your confidence in Jesus. Trust Him. That He did it all. He don't need you to save yourself. He did it all Himself. Yes. Amen? I feel a little giggly on side of me when I said that. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Proverbs 20:27. God will enlighten you. He'll guide you from your heart, from your spirit man. His spirit on the inside of you will lead you and guide you. Don't make decisions on the outward or physical man or any natural physical manifestations or by natural circumstances. You say, "Oh, the circumstances are right. No, this is right." You know, people always say, "If the door opens." No, the door, forget the door. It's not about doors. People say, "I make this decision if they open the door over here, if this guy opens the door." No, that has no relevance in God's decisions at all, how He leads you. Doors could open and close all the time. You got to know on the inside of you that God leads you and guides you. You got to know by the Word. You cannot make a decision correctly unless you know the Scriptures. God and His Word are one. So people get upset when you say things like this: "God spoke to me. God spoke to my spirit. God lead me." No, people get mad when you say stuff like that. Religious people especially. They say, "How? You mean to say, who are you talking about God leading you?" Well, He leads everybody. Jesus Himself said He'd lead you. Jesus Himself said He'd speak to you. Jesus himself said, my voice is in you and I'll lead you by my voice. Jesus said that himself. So, for instance, John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow the voice of Jesus. Amen. What is he saying to you? Go to the CLE. What is he saying? Go sit over there by Robbins and put out a placard saying, the end is coming. You know, that's why you don't have too many friends. You act like that. People are afraid of you before you see them. That's that crazy guy again. Let's get away from it. So God doesn't lead you just intellectually. Man, that guy is smart. Yeah, you're smart, but you got to have the wisdom of God. Proverbs 3:5, we just talked about it. Trust in the Lord with all your head. Trust in the Lord with all your head. Trust in the Lord with all your feelings. Trust in the Lord with all doors open. Open doors. Trust in the Lord with what? With all your money, if the money is there. Trust in the Lord if everybody likes you. Trust in the Lord if the circumstances are right. No, it doesn't talk about any of that. Never, never, never talks about that in the Bible. Never does it talk about, oh, if the circumstances are right, then you go ahead and step. Never talks about that. If they like you, then you go ahead and do it. I want to tell you something. I would have never came to this, be a pastor, if that was the case. Because no one wanted me. No one liked me. And they probably still don't like me, but I made a decision to follow God and go to ministry because Jesus called me. Amen. See? You don't make decisions because people like you or dislike you. You do it because God talked to you. So a lot of people don't believe that God called me. But what's important is that I know God called me. Amen. That he led me to do what I'm doing today. Otherwise, I'd be doing whatever everybody else is doing. We wouldn't be preaching the gospel across Canada if I didn't have made that decision. I've had, you know, letters and people talk to me this last couple of weeks that they were so blessed by the fact that they heard me on television and spoke, heard the word of God. And I've had friends on my Facebook. I've got over 4,000 friends now. And they talk to me about thank God that they heard the message. And so it's continually hearing the message of Jesus Christ on television. And so I thank God we have that opportunity to speak the word of God. I'm glad I did it. Now, I did not want to do it. I did not want to do it. I said, I don't want to do it. I don't want that pressure to always want to, raise money and believe God for money so that we can get on television and do all these things and buy cameras and, you know, all this stuff. And we just put those things in today. We had put two brand new screens in today or projectors, you know. Where'd the money come from? Come from somewhere. I looked at our bank instructions there. Well, money came in. How does money come in? Last week, everybody was away. I can't remember. It was 85 people or 80 people showed up. And there's still just $6,000 coming. How does that happen? Who gave that $6,000? Somebody gave it in. And people gave money. Some people, you can't even get $6,000 in a month somewhere. I mean, that's just one thing. I mean, there's some, who bought those? Somebody, we asked somebody about the projector. Somebody said, oh, I'll buy one of those. Thank God. Well, somebody will send. If you don't do it, somebody else will. Somebody else will do it. I heard people say to me, I'm not going to start tithing. Oh, yeah, it's up to you. It's your decision. I'm not going to close down this church and ministry because you don't tithe. We'll go on without you. And they're gone, and they're not in church anymore either. Not in church anymore, because they're mad at me, because they think I don't represent God. God's word is his word. So thank God. Give me your last point. Give me three more minutes. We'll close this. So your heart is the biggest way God will lead you. There's two things about the heart. First of all, you have to have a clear heart. If God's going to lead you, you're going to hear His voice. You have a clear heart. What are you talking about? The Bible says there's all kinds of voices in the world talking to you. In fact, your own mind will talk to you. Your feelings will talk to you. So when you have all kinds of clutter talking to you, your own desires, your own flesh is talking to you. Do this, do that. And they're all people telling you this, people pulling you this way, that way, and the devil talking to you. There's all kinds of voices talking to you. And there's clutter in your spirit. How many people know that your spirit and mind can be so cluttered that you don't know that God is talking to you anymore? Spiritual clutter in your spirit. Just like you would have clutter if you had to run outside and your room is all messed up. You try to find the right shirt and your right shoes and the right whatever it is, and you couldn't find it because there's too much clutter. Your spirit can be the same way. It's like your closet or your drawers or your pant closet, whatever it is you got. When you need to find something quickly, it's important to find that answer right now. Not like to take a research to find two pair of green socks for 1 year. Looking for those. Oh, that's where they were. Psalm 19:21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. It's God, what God says. One way the heart gets cluttered is by procrastination, or what we call disobedience. It can cause dullness where you can't hear God's voice. If you procrastinate or you disobey the voice of the Spirit in your, and all of a sudden then you can start getting confused whether or not God spoke to you. That's why Brother Hagin taught us, when your spirit talks to you, You follow quickly. You obey quickly. God says, give that guy $10. You give it quickly. Don't say, well, he don't need $10. I'm afraid to give him $10. Look at him. I remember the Lord said to me one day, driving down Hillcrest Park, and the Lord says, go to that house over there. Tell that man, give him $100. Go knock on his door. I said, look at his house. He's got a nice house. He's going to think I'm a fool. Look at his cars. He doesn't need $100. So I went and knocked on the door. I said, Lord told me to give you $100. He said, okay, thank you. See you later. Nothing spiritual happened. He didn't fall under the power and choke and everything else. And all of a sudden got healed. It was for me. When the Lord said to me, I want to heal that guy over there. Pray for him right now. One time I went to a meeting. The Lord said, there's a lady right back there. I want you to ask you to stop your meeting and pray for her right now. I said, I can't pray for her right now. What people are going to think? And finally, I stopped. I said, that lady over there, the Lord wants me to pray for you right now. Me? Yeah, you. Come on over here. And she came out, and all of a sudden, her eyes flipped back. You can just see the whites in her eyes. Sticks out her tongue at me, and a voice came out outside from her spirit, out of her own mouth, like a man's voice speaking out of her mouth, and said, oh, I hate you. Huh? That's surprising. A devil starts talking on from out of her. I hate her. I want to kill her. I was minding my own business preaching. And what if I didn't say that? What if I didn't obey the voice of God? That woman would have never been free. And what if I didn't go to that man's house to give him $100? I would have never done that. I had a lady send me mail this week. She said, Pastor Roma, thank you for healing my son. He's 24 years old. He was dying. The doctor said he was dying, and you came to the hospital, and he's healed. He's alive today. Hallelujah. And so I went to the hospital. I was afraid. He's the same doctor that was working on my head. I started talking to that situation. I was afraid of going into that, see all those equipment, I'm just a young pastor, and who am I? Who am I? These guys are smart. These guys are surgeons. These guys are, they got science degrees, and who am I? I'm just got a college pastor. I don't have any degrees. I'm walking in there. I said, pray for that little boy. The Lord said to me, ask that woman what she believes. Ask that man what she believes. Then you're going to have faith. I said, what you believe? He said, I believe You're a man of God. I believe if you pray for that, you know, little girl there, I mean, she will live. Or in that case, that second time was, the first time was a little boy. Second time was a little girl, I believe it was. And that other girl is older now too. She was dying in the hospital, and I went in there, laid my finger in there, put my finger inside that little, you know, in the little, whatever they call those things, incubators, and asked her, I command her to live in the name of Jesus. And she's alive today because of that. Why? You know, you have to follow your spirit. What if I say, I don't want to do it, I'm afraid, what are those nurses going to say? What if nothing happens? Nothing did happen there. And when Jesus come to my car, Jesus came, sat in my car, and told me about coming into ministry when I was in Winnipeg, traveling up to Pimina from the University of Manitoba, sat in my car, talked to me. Jesus did. He said, I want you to go to ministry. What are you going to do with that degree? What's that going to do with those people I'm calling you to? That's dying in the hospital. That's dying in that bed. And it was all flashed before me. So I went to my wife that night. I said, hon, the Lord told me to go in ministry. Those are decisions that we make that affect people. What if I didn't call that woman up? What if I didn't go to that hospital? That woman sent me a message last week. She said, thank God. She thinks I did it. She's still, of all those years. I guess, you know, she's giving me credit. But we know Jesus did it. Now, I had something to do with it because I obeyed God. And I had some other situations happen to me this week that reminded me, what if I didn't make those decisions? What if we didn't pray? What if we didn't do this? And I told Ernie, Ernie calls me, I said, Ernie, you go ahead and pray. God, you got that unction, you pray. Praying certain things out. And he has a spirit on him that comes on him once in a while to pray right then and there. So if you procrastinate, you're not going to hear God. If you keep putting off things, you know, you're not going to hear from God. Like, you know, you want to make decisions right now about certain things. Should I move here? Should I go here? Should I do this? Should I do that? No, listen. Go back to the last place that God told you to do something. Then you start working from there and obey God from there. Then you're going to find God. You're going to trust your own spirit after. And I told my wife when the Lord sent me to Rhema, we had no money. We told that to somebody today. I told those two kids today. We made the decision to go to Rhema with no money. I said, you don't make those decisions every day unless you hear from God, unless you're sure you heard from God. Or else you fall on your face. So I told my wife, I took my two little girls, and we went to Rhema with no money. Of course, you know, I could have probably done some other things to help myself. I could have, but we didn't have the money. So we went. I told my wife. My wife trusted me. She said, honey, if you said God leads you, I would trust you. I believe you. It's good to have a relationship with a wife or a husband that you can trust. That you heard from God. Yes, you hear from God. Yeah, okay, let's do it. You know? I thank God for that kind of relationship that I have with my wife where we can make that decision. We didn't fight about it. Same way when we write a tithe check. I never asked her, checked her. You shouldn't write that down. No, we write a tithe check. We talk about it with the kids today, Pastor Ken, about the tithing, giving offerings. I said, if you can't trust God with 10% of your money, how can you trust God about healing in your body? It all starts from the basics, trusting God. How can you trust God to get your kids out of drugs if you can't trust Him with 10% of your money? You got to trust God from the basics. And that's easy. That's the easy part, trusting God. Amen? Amen. So clutter is another one. So just let me say this. Psalm 25:9, the meek God will guide. Let me just finish this by saying this. The meek are those people who will remain teachable. If you think you know it all, I know everything. I had a friend in college. We used to say things. He said, I know all that. And he had a straight D report card. And he always said, I know all that. But you know, the thing about it, he had enough faith that he became a professor later on. But I went out to, you know, became, a, you know, had high marks in university later on because I learned, you know, from people. So, don't be like a mule. Psalm 32:8-9 says, A mule has to be forced to do something. Like an animal. You're not an animal. Like a mule. God wants you to be pliable. He wants you to have a humble heart, a teachable heart, a willing heart. Here's what somebody said. Here's what happened to us. Someone was very, very sick, dying. And on the deathbed, remember this. He said, "You know, God, I'm sorry. You asked me to go to Africa." And God said, "No, I just wanted you to be willing to go." And she had in her heart, you know, you wonder about people, how come that guy never gets healed? Why doesn't he get healed? Well, maybe because they're not humble. They look like they're good, but God sees the heart. Sometimes God wants you just to open up your heart and say, "God, I want to remain teachable. I want to be open. I want to be pliable." Whatever you want, and you say, "Lord, thy will be done." And I close with that. Thank you so much for paying attention for the Word of God. Amen. I hope this helps you a little bit. We're going to do the offering. Shut all the doors. We're going to receive the offering, the evening, the tithe and offering tonight. Thank God that you're not going to be led just because you do this every week. You give a regular $10. Amen. You already write your checks? Ushers, you know what to do. You have your gun? Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank God. We're gonna do it at the back there. There's also, a giving thing at the back. What's it called? A debit machine. A thingy, a little thingy. When we were kids, I always joke about this. Our youngest daughter, Natasha, she would ask me something. I said, "Honey, I don't have any money. Right now, I don't have any money." She says, "No, just go to that thing there, that box," she says to me, "and put your card in there, and the money comes out," she says to me. She hasn't changed. She hasn't changed. She said, "Dad, that box over there. Bring your card over here." Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand up if you got your offering. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We lead you. We thank you that you're leading us. We're not leading you. You're leading us. Make a commitment. Everybody bow your head. Just make a commitment. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're leading me right now. You're giving me wisdom. You're giving me instructions. I believe, according to the Word of God, that I heard tonight, that I can hear your voice, that you will instruct me, that you will lead me and guide me and protect me. I'm not going to be afraid to make a decision. If I make a wrong one, you're going to show me to turn in the right direction. So I make a decision today to start making decisions and being responsible. In the name of Jesus, I will be pliable. I'll be humble. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Those of you that are watching by television, online, if you were here today, I want to ask you today to give Jesus your heart, to say, "Jesus Christ, be my Lord and Savior. I want to thank you today. According to your word, you said if I believe in my heart and say with my mouth that you are Lord of my life, I believe, according to the word, that I'd be born again. Now I'm a child of God." You just need to confess that, make that a prayer, and now you're a child of God. We'll see you next time. God bless you. We want to help you. If you need any information, call us, write us, give us a message, and we want to send you a package to help you grow spiritually. God bless you. Until next time. Goodbye.